Detective Barry Gilbert studied the body of Edgar Cheng Lau, his arched back, his bent left knee and extended right leg. Edgar's big toe pointed with ballet-like grace toward the kitchen door, an elegant corpse, poetic in the positioning of its limbs. His blood-stained shirt pulled up to his ribs revealed a flat, well-muscled stomach and a ragged gunshot wound. He was about 35. His pale hand clutched a ball of blood-soaked Kleenex. He looked as if he'd been trying to staunch the flow of blood from his wound. His Chinese eyes, partially open, gazed at the French doors, contemplated them in the disturbing dullness of death, as if he found meaning in them, as if beyond their rain-speckled panes he saw things only a dead man could see. The middle of December, Christmas 10 days away, and nothing but rain. No snow, just rain, beating on the old slate shingles of the third-floor dormers, on the tar and pebble roof above, on the street outside. Gilbert looked around. Chinese ink drawings hung on the walls. The futon furniture, a sofa and chair, had been slashed, the stuffing pulled out, as if someone had been looking for something inside them. A camera sat on a table. 7-Up cans, crushed to flat little discs, lay piled in a broken bamboo cradle. Books filled the shelves, some Chinese, some English, many on photography, some on Chinese history, a few on Vietnamese history. Dozens of them had been yanked from the shelves and tossed to the floor. Rainwater had been tramped across the hardwood floor in ill-defined footprints. A stepladder stood in the middle of the living room. A torn piece of blood-stained newspaper lay beside it. Gilbert walked over, had a closer look. A triangular piece of newspaper ripped from one of the Chinese dailies, stained with small dry smears, slightly crumpled, as if someone had been trying to wipe blood with it, sitting here, far from the main pool under Edgar's body. What could it mean? Gilbert's partner, Detective Joe Lombardo, 16 years his junior, smart, young, handsome, came out of the bedroom with a photograph album. He also carried a 9-round clip of ammunition. Lombardo flipped through the photograph album as he approached Gilbert, his dark eyes scanning the photographs with Mediterranean intensity. "What's with the clip?" asked Gilbert. Lombardo held up the magazine. "45 caliber," he said. "I found it between the mattress and the box spring," he said. "No gun?" asked Gilbert. "No gun," said Lombardo. "But take a look at these photos here." He showed the photograph album to Gilbert, flipped to a page roughly in the middle. The photographs were old, black and white, shot on 35mm film. The deck of a ship, crowded with men, women, and children, all East Asians, their bodies wasted and thin, their eyes sunken, their expressions hopeless, as if they'd been adrift a long time. The ship, badly pocked with rust, looked barely seaworthy. A few older men stood around the deck with rifles. Some looked out to sea, others stared sullenly at the camera. One of them had a bandolier of machine gun ammunition crisscrossed over his chest. Two black pigs tethered to the railing ate what looked like a large snake. "Boat people?" said Gilbert. "That's what I thought," said Lombardo. "He's got Vietnam history books over there," said Gilbert. "A lot of stuff about the war." The two detectives looked at Edgar Lau, then back at the photographs, then at the camera on the table, a Pentax 35mm, a professional camera. Lombardo turned the page. More photographs, these ones in color taken with a different camera, standard Kodak film. The photographs showed the pockmarked ship from the deck of a much larger ship, way down in the well of the blue sea, not so crowded anymore, not as many children. The people on the boat looked up, peering from under the brims of wide straw hats. Another photograph showed sea-worn East Asians climbing aboard the much larger ship, struggling up a rope ladder, all of them skinny, brown stick people with shaggy black hair. Then photographs of white people on the bigger ship, some in uniform, two or three in regular clothes, one man wearing a shirt with a large collar, a garment identifiably from the 1970s.